Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You didn't hear going into the break, running back for the Bengals, Joe Mixon. He is still out for Sunday's contest against the Titans, dealing with that ankle injury. Giovanni Bernard will start in his place. That was the case last week against the Browns, and looks like it'll be the case again this week against the Titans. To find out how the Titans have been practicing this week, getting ready for Sunday's tilt in Cincinnati, Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. Terry, how you doing?
Doing okay. How are you guys?
Let's hope this contest goes a little bit better than the last time they went to Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when Andy Dalton, somebody bounced off Andy Dalton?
Oh, yeah.
And he kind of waltzed into the end zone.
Bleedy Ray Wilson.
It was Bleedy Ray Wilson.
Bleedy Ray Wilson.
Who had a couple of missteps like that last night. So, Titans legend Bleedy Ray Wilson.
That wasn't Bleedy Ray Wilson sighting last night.
Titans legend. That was not a good game for them against Cincy. They got torched.
Yeah, that was not good. And by a couple of guys, you know, with Bleedy Ray Wilson, you know, getting done in by Andy Dalton. And Andy Dalton's career has kind of gone down the toilet of late, too. So, you know, just a bad thing overall.
If memory serves me correct, because I was filling in for the pregame show that day at the Omni Hotel downtown, I believe, was that not the same weekend that we lost Rob Baronis? Was that not the day before?
It absolutely was, because I remember seeing it on Twitter or getting a text or something, you know, about it. And, you know, real early that morning, I think it had been reported by one of the Nashville television stations that he'd been involved in a fatal crash. And it just kind of cast a severe pall on the whole, you know, on the whole day and the whole proceedings. You know, it was just kind of certainly unexpected and certainly very surreal.
Yeah, it was just a bad weekend all around. So something we've been talking about this week, and we're going to have it in our pick six contest in the final hour. Cincinnati shipped Carlos Dunlap to Seattle. They got an offensive lineman and a seventh-round pick in return. They need offensive line help. They're going to get their star rookie quarterback killed this season if they don't protect him better. This has all the makings. If the Titans are ever going to break through and get to the quarterback, this is the week, right? And if they don't, what does that mean? What are we going to be talking about on Monday?
If they don't, we're going to be talking about the same thing we've been talking about for the better part of 7 weeks, in that this pass rush has not been good this year. That while they've occasionally affected the quarterback, they've not consistently gotten to him. I mean, last week's numbers, and I know that a lot of people are going to say, well, Ben Roethlisberger was getting the ball out of his hands quickly, but he dropped back 49 times, and the Titans hit him three of those 49 times. Three. I mean, if the rate is that low, it would almost be worth a 15-yard late hit penalty just to let him know you're there.
Yeah. Well, how do you explain then, because this is something else we've talked about, then how do you explain the lack of ability to get to the quarterback? Well, where do you point? I mean, you know, they brought in Clowney to affect that. They brought in Vic Beasley to affect that. We know Logan Ryan is gone. He was pretty good in that department. How do you chalk up Dean Pease is not here? Like, where do you start in trying to figure out why it isn't happening?
I'll give you three reasons, and this is just my theory.
Okay.
All right. The first thing is, and yes, I know Jeffrey Simmons has been a beast and been the one guy on that defense that has played really, really well. But Jarrell Casey was the heart and soul of that defense. Jarrell Casey was going to make a play or two every game, just about, that affected play, that affected how this team was able to stop the run or put pressure on the quarterback. And I think his play was contagious. I think you just go back and rewatch the Baltimore playoff game last year and see what type of, you know, see the heart and soul that Jarrell Casey put into that game. Second thing, Dean Pease. I think Dean Pease knew exactly what kind of deck he was playing with the last couple of years. He knew he didn't have a Reggie White or a Lawrence Taylor that could affect the game by getting to the quarterback on a regular basis, that sort of thing. So what did he do? He dialed up blitzes from everywhere, and they were very well-timed and well-thought-out, whether it was Logan Ryan coming from the slot or Kenny Vaccaro from a safety blitz or an inside linebacker blitz from Jayon Brown or Rashawn Evans. I haven't seen a lot of that this year. What we have seen doesn't seem like it's been nearly as effective. And then the third thing, you mentioned, you know, Logan Ryan. I think the fact that they've been kind of beat up and patchwork in the secondary, Logan Ryan kept a lot of things together back there. Wasn't the fastest guy going, but he was smart. He was savvy. He executed those blitzes very well when they were called. I just don't think when you look at the slot guys that they've used this year, they're both, for the most part, been rookies because Adoree Jackson's not been available. So it's been either Christian Fulton, who's hurt now, or it's been Chris Jackson. And those guys just don't seem to have the savvy. Someday they might. But right now, they just don't seem to have the savvy and the wherewithal that Logan Ryan brought to that position where they used it a lot to get to the quarterback.
So if I told you the over-under was set at 1.5 sacks this weekend for the Titans defense, would you take the over or the under?
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Like, isn't it sad that you just laughed and you went, oh, my gosh, to a 1.5 over-under on sacks against a bad Cincinnati offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably take the under. They may get 2 or 3, but the way things have been going, I don't know that you can bank on that.
Well, and also, do you have Clowney? He hasn't practiced. Are we presuming he's going to give it a go?
Well, we'll know here in a little while when they have to make an injury designation on him. But, you know, Friday is usually the telling day. If a guy can get through practice on Friday most of the time, that gives him the green light to at least have a shot to play on Sunday. So it'll be very telling with Clowney, with Dennis Kelly, and with Christian Fulton and a couple of other guys if they can answer the bell at today's practice and at least get themselves in position to be questionable on Sunday.
That's a good point. We're talking to Terry McCormick, so let's dive a little deeper into that. Dennis Kelly hasn't practiced the last 2 days. You're already using Sambrio on the other side at tackle. So give us the projection. If Kelly can't go for some reason, what they would do at right tackle?
Well, the right tackle would probably become David Quisenberry, who was promoted to the active roster from the practice squad earlier this week. And that probably should have sent off some warning bells. They probably won't have Isaiah Wilson. They might have him active as the third tackle in case somebody gets hurt, because they really don't have a lot of options beyond that. There's, you know, a few of those undrafted rookies like Aaron Brewer that might could slide out and play tackle. Roger Saffold could play tackle in a pinch if you needed him to. But if Dennis Kelly can't go, David Quisenberry would be the first option. And then, who knows, might we see Isaiah Wilson active for the first time if Kelly's out? It's possible.
I think that's a really intriguing thing, is do they feel comfortable enough to have him back up? It's pretty clear they're not going to put him in there to start at this point, but if they got into a pinch, is he ready to go out there and physically play?
Well, they say.
And is there any other option if at this point? Is there another tackle on the roster?
There might be one on the practice squad. I'd have to look it up. Keeping up with the fifth offensive tackle.
Well, they have a tackle.
I know that I covered the team, but
There must be one somewhere.
There must be one somewhere on the practice squad, a fifth offensive tackle. But his name is not coming to mind immediately. So, you know, I mean, if Dennis Kelly's not available, then my guess would be that Isaiah Wilson would probably be active. I wouldn't look for him to start, but he would probably be active. I think, you know, as far as to whether or not he's ready, I can't imagine that he would be a top-notch performer given what all he's been through and given the fact that we are now 7 weeks into the season and he's not even played one NFL snap yet. So I can't imagine that he would be great. They say his conditioning is getting a little better. So, you know, until we have evidence to the contrary, we kind of have to take them at their word for that. But then there was the report last week that came out that said he was late for practice one day because of an illness. So, you know, you're still seeing signs of that immaturity that we've seen out of a number of guys that have been here. And, you know, some of them make it. You know, Albert Haynesworth had issues with immaturity when he was young and young in his career, and you know, he gave the Titans some pretty good play. You know, they were rewarded for their patience with him. You know, we saw the immaturity from Pac-Man Jones, from Vince Young, from Kenny Britt, and those didn't pan out quite so well. So it's a roll of the dice, and you hope for this kid's sake that he figures it out and starts to get it, but there's certainly no guarantee of it.
And otherwise, the other issue would be the secondary. You've got, as you mentioned, Christian Fulton, who left the game last week, hasn't practiced. Jonathan Joseph hasn't practiced. Now, that could be just a veteran thing, but, you know, he already is a guy that's probably playing a bigger role than they had planned. So that leads us to Adoree Jackson. Are we fairly confident he'll be out there on Sunday?
Well, they're not tipping their hand on it, that's for sure. He's been out there at practice and, you know, doing a few things, but we don't get to see much anymore because of the, you know, it's only open for stretch and individual. So, you know, you get to see very, very little. I think, you know, when Adoree's injury happened, that it was about a 4 to 6 week injury. And if that's the case, if my source is correct, then right now would be right about the time that you would expect him to be coming back from it. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Without Christian Fulton, if he's not able to go, you know, they're going to be very, very thin in the secondary. And Adoree Jackson could probably give them a boost, even if he's not 100%.
Talking to Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. And something that we spent a lot of time on, and I know we've talked to you about this. You mentioned the two players that were gone from the defense, but are you ready to say it was a mistake, or maybe it's still, you know, a work in progress of not having a dedicated defensive coordinator on this team, whether it's you have Shane Bowen calling plays or Mike Vrabel as both the head coach and the DC. Do you think that that's factoring in?
I think it has to. It's you know, on some level, you know, it may not be a huge factor, but I think it has to have some weight, you know. And I think, you know, let me just say this: if Shane Bowen is going to be the guy that calls the plays, then wouldn't you be better off to go ahead and give him the title of defensive coordinator and let him make that his task and his mission every week?
Yes.
And hire an outside linebackers coach to fill his old position, you know. And if Mike Vrabel is insistent upon being the defensive coordinator himself and you keep Shane Bowen as the outside linebackers coach, then I think Vrabel would have to step back, except for the supervisory may not be the right word, but the capacity, you know, the CEO capacity of having a hand in the offense and special teams in terms of having the final say would still have that. But don't you think he would have to kind of pull himself away from the offensive meeting rooms and just hand that over to Arthur Smith and say, this is your job, do what you do unless I tell you not to, you know, in terms of that. I think that, you know, you have to do one of those two things, and who knows, that may be what's being done. You know, they don't spill much out of there in terms of their coaching strategy, their scheme, and how they go about things. But to me, you know, that's my way of thinking. You either hand Shane Bowen the defensive reins, or if Mike Vrabel still wants to have a heavy hand in the defense, then you, you know, pull yourself out of the offensive situation and tell Arthur Smith to run that, because somebody's being spread too thin, whether it's Bowen or Vrabel or both.
Yeah, well, I feel like he's, and again, we don't know. We're not there. You know, I'm not there, and they don't let you in the meetings. But I feel like that Arthur Smith is more allowed to do his thing. I think we saw that he earned the trust of Vrabel, that he's got the offense under control. He's got Tannehill, you know, clicking as the quarterback and everything there. So I kind of feel like the offense, it is all right. It's Art Smith's show. But my whole thing is, if you're Vrabel, just like you were saying, if it's Shane Bowen, then name him the DC and let him do the job. You don't have to micromanage like some other coaches, because we know that micromanaging can lead to bad things. And, you know, I'm not using 1 year necessarily, but his 1 year as DC at Houston wasn't all that great. And granted, he did have injuries. So I just, you know, I feel like it's slowing things down, so to speak, in a year where, you know, defenses aren't as good maybe as they usually are. You don't want to add anything to that.
Yeah, you know, and it may be, you know, to use the old saying, that there may be too many cooks in the kitchen when it comes to the defense. And maybe one voice would be better than two or three or four, because, you know, he has said on numerous occasions that everybody kind of chips in. And I get that, because you don't want Anthony Midgett, the secondary coach, to be uncomfortable with something that's going to be called on game day and not feel confident that his guys can't go out and execute it. So you want that input. But at the end of the day, somebody's got to have the final say in that defensive room, whether it's Vrabel or whether it's Shane Bowen. And who knows, that may be one of the things that's you know, holding this thing back.
What about special teams, Terry? We know that they had one of their worst weeks, if not their worst week, last week against Pittsburgh. We know the kicking woes and how they've kind of been up and down with Gostkowski, but you expecting a bounce back on special teams?
Well, you would hope so. I think one of the things that caused the Titans special teams, beyond Gostkowski's miss, because that field goal's got to be made, but the other things, like, you know, Khalif Raymond muffing the short kickoff and things like that, I just think the Steelers special teams were excellent last Sunday. And I think that, you know, their special teams unit basically outplayed and outcoached the Titans special teams unit for a good part of the day. And, you know, and sometimes when you're the better prepared team, and or you're the better coach team in that regard, you know, for that week, it shows up and it pays off. I mean, because the Steelers kept, you know, a lot of teams now are willing just to take the touchback, drill the ball out of the back of the end zone, and go with it. The Steelers, kind of borrowing from the Bill Belichick school of thought, they would kick that high short pooch kick, make the Titans return it, and usually the return man, Khalif Raymond, was stopped somewhere in between, you know, the 18 and the 23-yard line, so they were gaining, you know, 5 to 7 yards of field position by not doing the touchback. So it's just one of those things where, you know, Titans special teams, except for the field goal kicking inconsistencies, had been pretty good up to that point. Because, you know, Brett Kern's one of the best punters in the league. Khalif Raymond is a decent return man. But I think they'll bounce back. But it certainly was a rough day for them on Sunday.
Do they get it done Sunday? Do they bounce back and win?
They should. If they don't, then there's going to be some serious questions. I mean, I know the Bengals have played a lot of close games, but they still only have one win. And last year, I think they went 2-14. And I heard a stat that said that like 8 of their losses were by 7 points or less. So, you know, if you're the Titans, you probably do expect a close game. You probably don't expect to go up there and win 31-10, but I think you do expect to go up there and win, because you've got the better team. And, you know, for the most part, you've got the better talent. You've got the better offense. You've got, you know, a coach who's, for the most part, except for the defense's third down and pass rush woes, pretty much on top of things. So, yeah, you should have the advantages.
Terry, good stuff as always. Really appreciate it. You have a great weekend. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. Biggest concern for you going into this game on Sunday is what, Willie?
Well, for me, it would definitely be the defense. You know, because Joe Burrow, they're not overly efficient, but they are a threat. You know, it's interesting, without Joe Mixon now, Giovanni Bernard he's been around for a while, right? He's really a pass-catching back. He's not really a guy that you're going to hand the ball to.
It's like a third-down specialist.
Yeah, he has been. He's been a good one for a long time, but he's not a guy that you turn and hand the ball to. Joe Burrow is actually the leading rusher coming in for the Bengals without Mixon in there. So that's a concern for the Bengals, but they have some weapons. They can score, and if you're down a couple of defensive backs, you are going to have to do a little patchwork there. So I am a little concerned.
Yeah, I mean, mine is going to continue to be the pass rush because with that offensive line that Cincinnati has, you should be able to get to the quarterback and Joe Burrow. And if you can't, I mean, that right there is just going to – I mean, if it's me, the confidence is going to be completely gone and create more problems. So that's my concern. They got to be able to get to Joe Burrow and make some plays. I mean, your over-under question is a very good one and a scary one. I mean, I hope it's over, but going to have to see it before I can believe it.
Do you think they'll just go empty backfield and just say, listen, they can't cover all of our guys. They don't have enough good coverage guys. They don't have a great pass rush. We don't have our main running back, so we're just going to sling it. We're going to throw it a ton.
Well, didn't they do that against Cleveland? They didn't have Mixon for Cleveland.
You're right. And
isn't that what they did? They put
30-something
up on the board?
Pretty much. They put 34 on the board.
I mean, Tyler Boyd, the problem is
they've got issues on the offensive line, right? They lost three offensive linemen that game. So, as you heard Rocky Boyman, it's one you can spread it. And Joe Burrow, he certainly did that a lot in college. And he can run a little bit. He's used to it. But when you only have five blockers, you are going to have some precarious moments there. But that's why we're getting back to you have to be able to pressure with the front four against this team. You have to be able to do it. It is alarming. It will be alarming if they can't do it here.
Agreed. Agreed.
Are they getting climbing back? I guess we'll find out here soon. They will go onto the practice field fairly soon, and we'll feel a little bit better about Clowney's chances of playing and Kelly.
Well, they're on the practice field. They're going to be done in about 15-20 minutes. We'll actually hear from Mike
Vrabel
at 12:25.
You know, you get that Friday status where some guys
are ruled
out.
Well, we're
going to
hear Mike Vrabel at 12:25, so we'll know.
Yeah.
That's when we'll know.
He'll be asked, I'm sure.
Yeah, sure he will.
We might get a couple of questionables.
Hopefully he's in another good mood today.
Yeah, let's hope.
I think Adoree Jackson's going to play. I do not believe for a minute Isaiah Wilson is on that field. Not for a minute.
No, I agree with you.
Not even as a emergency backup.
No.
Did you guys scour the roster to see if you could find another offensive lineman that might be a possibility?
Besides Quisenberry?
Well, yeah, we know Quisenberry. He might have to start if they don't have Kelly, that's the thing. Who is the third tackle if Kelly can't go? If it's not Wilson.
A tight end?
It's going to be
Michael Pruitt.
Paul Adams. Brandon Kemp.
Okay.
And that's it.
Is he related to the Adams family?
No, that's the kid from here, right?
He went to CPA. Missouri. Yeah, he went to Missouri.
Okay. Well, that could be a great story then.
They just signed him this week.
Yeah, they signed him this week. He's a local kid.
Yeah. All right.
Grew up a Titans fan.
So that's the guy then.
Yeah.
Yep. Or Brandon Kemp.
All right. We will no relation to Sean. We will come back. Or Tony. Let's find out who or what is on your list. Who or what has made you mad?
I've been ready for a week. Let's go.
I'm ready too. I've got it. I've been waiting all week. Been waiting all week to let you know what's made me mad this week. It's a driver. I'm just saying. Not a golf driver, but a driver on the road. We'll come back. 615-737-1025. Hour number three next on ESPN 1025 The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.